relevant question that we are asked every so often. The question that is asked is, when I'm building a house, when I'm in the middle of construction, when there's something that I'm trying to do in my garden, do I have a right to cut down a fruit tree or not? This is a commonly asked question, and the real truth is that it stems from our Parsha. So we look in the Parsha, where the Parsha describes, Ki satzir el ir yamim rabim, when you are going to have a siege on a city, lehilachem aleha, because you're about to wage war against that city. Lo sashris es etza, says the pasuk, make sure you don't destroy its trees, lindach alav garzen ki mimeno tochel, because from those trees you are meant to eat, you are not meant to destroy the trees. And then the pasuk goes further and says, rak etz asher teda ki lo etz ma'achal hu, the only tree that you're allowed to chop down. Look, sometimes we do need trees while we're in the middle of fighting a war. We might need a new axe, we might need a new shovel, different things, but still, we are told only a tree that we know is not an Eitz Meichel Hu. Only when we know it is not a fruit tree, Oso Sashchis, that is the only tree you're allowed to cut down. And the Pasuk says, then you can go on with the war. But if you know that it's a fruit tree, the Pasuk says clearly, you do not have a right to chop it down, even for a very important cause, such as fighting the war. So the Rambam tells us that from here we learn, not only do we have a prohibition to chop down trees, says the Rambam, but we extend this even further, outside of trees. The general Isser that we all know as Bal Tashchis really comes from this Pasuk in our Parsha, because it says, Bal Tashchis Kaleitz, you're not allowed to destroy any tree. So too says the Rambam, you're not allowed to destroy anything. However, the Rambam says, we draw a distinction between trees and any other items. So the Rambam says as follows, V'lo ha'ilanos bilvad, says the Rambam, not only do we have a prohibition to chop down a tree, Ela kol ha'meshaber kalim, anyone who breaks something that was usable, or korea begadim, you take garments and you destroy them. V'horeis binyan, or you knock down a building for no good reason. V'sosei mayan, or you had a well and you decide you're going to close it up. U'ma'abed ma'chalos derach hashchasa, or you take food that was edible and you destroy it, derach hashchasa. Anything like that, he says, over below sashchis. That is all under this umbrella of bal tashchis kol etz. You're not allowed to destroy a tree. However, the Rambam says, Eino loke ela makos mardus midivrayim. The Rambam says you only get malkus midirabanan. What's the difference whether you get whipped midaraisa or midirabanan? Either way, you're going to get hurt. Difference is, are we dealing with something which is an iser daraisa or something which is an iser dirabanan? So there were those who learned from the fact that the Rambam distinguishes here and says, if you destroy any item outside of trees, but any item also, the Rambam tells us you would get malkus midirabanan. That seems to be an indication that maybe all of those are only midrabanan. However, the overwhelming majority of Achronim disagree. There are many prominent Achronim who say that, but the overwhelming majority disagree and say, no, anything that you destroy is going to fall under this general category of bal tashchis, and that applies whether it's a tree, whether it's something else. You are not allowed to destroy something and make it no longer usable for its intended purposes. One example of the Achronim who say such a thing is the Balatanya, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, when he wrote his understanding of the Shulchan Aruch, he says, anyone who destroys something which is ro'i lehenes bo b'nei adam, anyone who destroys something that a human being could have gotten some sort of benefit from, over below saseh, you have violated this explicit prohibition in our parsha shenemar, lo sashchis es etza. And then he writes, im hizhira ha'torah al shel nachrim, if we are told in our parsha that we're not allowed to destroy the trees of the non-Jews who are our enemies when we're going to wage war with them, and still we have to be vigilant over the fact that we're not allowed to chop down a tree. Certainly, he says, when you have something that belongs to one of your friends or to yourself, that you don't have the ability just to disregard it and to destroy it, you have to take as good care of it as you possibly can. And here, he writes that this is something, whatever item you are destroying, whatever it might be, even outside of trees, even outside of fruit trees, you would be in violation of the biblical prohibition. This is the opinion of the Minchas Chinuch as well, and many, many other, the Chasam Sofer, many other great Gedolei Achronim assume this way, that they all fall under the biblical prohibition of Bal Tashchis. Now, what is the reason why we have such an Isser? So the Sefer Achinuch, quite often, whenever he describes a mitzvah or a lo saseh in the Torah, he very often gives us the hashkafa behind the mitzvah, the explanation why it is that we have this mitzvah. And here he writes as well, in mitzvah Tav Kuf Chav Tes, the Sefer Achinuch writes, Shehu lelamed nafshenu, it is to teach ourselves, lehov hatov hatoeles ulihidabek bo, it is to teach a person to love that which is good, that which is litoeles, that which is purposeful in life. V'narchik mikol dvar hashchasa, and it's supposed to teach us to stay away from destructive acts. V'zeo derech hachasidim v'anshei ma'isa o'avim hashalom. This is the way good people live. They love to be peaceful. They love to live lives that are going to be graceful. U'smeichem b'tov habrios. They're happy when other people are happy. V'lo yovdu afilu gargir shachardo ba'olam. They wouldn't even destroy the smallest item, even if it's insignificant to them. But that's just not the way of life. We don't go around destroying things even if I'm not going to use it, even if it's not for me, even if I have no relationship with that item. It's something that we should not do. It's like sometimes you see people, every time they walk by a tree, they break off a branch. It always bothers me. Why are you destroying the tree? Why did the tree bother you? What did the tree do to you? It's in your way? So if it's a branch that's sticking into the street and it's going to get in people's way, someone could bump into it is one thing. But you see people, they pick off leaves just for no good reason. When they're walking by a tree, they pick off leaves, they break off a branch. That's exactly what he says here. It says the Sefer Achinuch, we're supposed to train ourselves to always be mindful of the fact that God created a beautiful world, and the way to navigate this world is not to be a negative person that's always destroying things for no good reason. If I ever feel I'm in a position that I can save something, now this doesn't mean you have to be a person who hoards everything in life. All it means is that you have to be mindful over the fact that we don't just go around destroying things, even if you have no purpose for it. Maybe give it to someone else, maybe find a different way that it can be used. You should not go around destroying different parts of the world. I think very often about this Sefer Achinuch, because sometimes you read in the news that something's going on in a far-off country somewhere that you have nothing to do with, that you'll never meet anyone from that place, and there's a terrible pogrom going on, or a terrible calamity happening, a terrible epidemic, and you say to yourself sometimes, well, what does that have to do with me? How am I related at all to that terrible tragedy that's going on? The answer is no, that's not the way a Jew lives life. Says the Sefer Achinuch, if we have such a sensitivity to ilanos, to trees, and to property, and to people's money, certainly we have to have a super and heightened sensitivity when we're dealing with other people's lives, even if it's someone you'll never know and never meet, even if it's a community you have no relationship with. This is certainly something that a Jew has to be careful about, to always be mindful and to always be thoughtful of that. So now we get to our question, and that is, very often you have somebody who's building a new home, somebody who's trying to do some kind of construction, and there is a fruit tree in the way. So what is supposed to be our obligation when we have that kind of circumstance? What are we supposed to do? Do we have any heterim perhaps to cut down that tree because it's in the way? Or perhaps we are bound by this law that the Torah states in our parsha, that lo sashris es etza, we are not allowed to cut down trees that we know are fruit-bearing trees. This really begins in a Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells us that Rav once had a tree, and he said that a dikla detan kaba, when you have a tree that is giving off a certain amount of fruit, you are not allowed to chop it down. And the Gemara goes through a lengthy discussion about which trees you are, which trees perhaps you are not, but this is something that the Gemara clearly states is a prohibition to cut down a fruit tree. This is not only stated in the Gemara, this is quoted in the Rishonim La'alacha. So the Sefer Achinuch and the Rambam and the Tur all quote this La'alacha that we do not have a right to cut down fruit trees. What is surprising is that the Shulchan Aruch does not mention this. And that is a big question mark that the Acharonim try to figure out. Why is it that the Shulchan Aruch seems to have mentioned everything else, but for some reason he leaves this out? Why would he leave out the halacha of cutting down fruit trees? It sounds like it's something that is obvious. Sounds like it's something that's quoted in the Chinuch and the Rambam and the Tur. Why would the Shulchan Aruch himself not quote it? However, the Taz does quote it on Yeridaya, and this is why all the Acharonim assume that this prohibition certainly does apply. Why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention it is a good question, but it's something that we certainly have to take seriously. So the Rambam writes, "In kotzitzin ilanei meichel, you're not allowed to cut down any fruit tree. Ve'in monim mehem amas hamayim kidei sheyabshu. Let's say I want to outsmart the system. I'm not going to cut down the tree. I wouldn't be so heartless to do that. But I'm just going to make sure that I stop the stream of water. I cut down the irrigation system that's going to usually sustain that tree. And this way the tree will die on its own. Once it's dead and it's not giving off any fruit, I'll be able to cut it down." Says the Rambam, no, that's also part of the problem. Shenemar, because it says, "Lo sashchis es eitzah." You're not allowed to destroy the trees. "V'chalakot zeitz lokes," says the Rambam. Anyone who cuts down a tree is going to get malchus, is going to get lashes. "V'lo b'matzer b'lvad," says the Rambam. This doesn't only apply when somebody is in a war, like the Pasuk states, when you're in an enemy land and you want to know what am I allowed to cut down, what am I not. "Ela b'chal makom. Kalakot zeitz ilan meichel derech hashchasa." Anyone who cuts down a tree, derech hashchasa, very important words, if I do it in a destructive manner, lokes, says the Rambam. Aval, he says, kotzitzin oso, you're allowed to cut down a tree, im humazik ilanos acherim, if it's getting in the way of other trees and hindering their ability to grow. Sometimes you have roots that are growing out into other people's fields. That's not allowed. Obviously, I'm allowed to cut down the tree if it's bothering other people. Which means it costs me a lot of money to upkeep this tree, and I'm not really getting back more than I'm putting in. Yes, it's giving off fruit, but the fruit is worthless. So in a case like that, says the Rambam, you'd be allowed to cut it down. In those cases, he says, that is not a problem because that is not derech hashchasa. That is not being done in a destructive manner. I'm doing that because it's just not cost effective anymore. There's no reason to keep that around if it's costing me so much money and I'm not really getting so much produce out of it. And this is also the opinion of the other Rishonim as well. And the Rush even adds and he says, V'chein, so too is the case in Tzarech L'Mekomo. Says the Rush, it would seem to be clear that if you need the space of that tree for something of a more important purpose, you would be allowed to remove that tree as well. And this is really the basis of our whole discussion. Many people ask, I'm doing construction, I'm building a house, I want to put in a pool, I want to do something in my backyard, and I have a problem because there's a big tree right in the middle of the backyard, and that's standing in my way, and it's a fruit tree, and it's giving off fruits every season. How can I cut it down if, after all, it seems to be an open violation of our parsha when we're told, lo sashris es eitzah, you're not allowed to destroy a fruit tree. And the answer is, the Rishonim already tell us the only time that prohibition applies is when you're doing it derech hashchasa, when you do it because you're trying to be destructive. But here where you're doing it for a constructive reason, I'm doing it because I want to build a house, because I want to have something that's going to be worth more than the money I'm putting into it, that the Rishonim say clearly is something that is permissible. The Stechemet quotes that there were those who wanted to argue that some Rishonim disagree, but he says it's a total mistake. And the opinion of all the Rishonim, he argues, is that everyone is in agreement that this is something that when you have a greater purpose to do it, it is something that is permissible. One of the problems that we face when we have this question is, we have a Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Now Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid was the author of the Sefer Chassidim. He was one of the great Rishonim in the 12, 1300s. And this is a problem because we have what we refer to as the Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid gave us, he left over a number of ideas that he felt were important to give on to future generations. And these are ideas that are not found in Shulchan Aruch. These are ideas that he added on his own. Again, he was before the Shulchan Aruch, but these are ideas that really do not find themselves in the halachic system. And the question is, how do we deal with something when the Sefer Chassidim or the Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid tells us something? How are we supposed to deal with that? Most commonly, we are asked the question. I have a daughter or a son who's going out with somebody, and the mother happens to have the same name. So that's all from the Sefer Chassidim. That's not something that we find in Shulchan Aruch itself. That's something that came along much later on. It's an idea that Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid told us to be careful about, that there's some sakana involved if you're going to have a girl and a mother-in-law the same name. And the question is, how far do we need to go out of our way in order to avoid violating a tzavas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid? That's a major question in general that has many, many applications because Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid gave us many, many of his ideas. So how do we deal with that in general is a good question. But Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid writes, Ilan ha'osa peiros, he says, when a tree gives off fruit, ein liktzotz oso, you are not allowed to cut it down. So the Achronim ask, why does he have to teach me this? We know that the Pasuk says you're not allowed to cut it down, and we know that the Rishonim talk about it. Why does Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid have to say you're not allowed to cut down a tree? It must be that he means to say, even when you have a valid reason to cut down the tree, you're still not allowed to do it. So this is a major problem because all the Rishonim seem to say it's permissible. All of a sudden you have Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid who says, even under those conditions that the Rishonim set for us, it's not allowed. So how do you deal with that? I'm not making light of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, but the question is, in general, how do we deal with it? The Rabbi Yehuda has a famous comment when he wrote to one of his Talmidim who wrote a question to him about, what do I do? I'm dating somebody who has the same name as my mother. What am I supposed to do? So Rabbi Yehuda wrote as follows. Ahuvai Talmidai. He says, I'm writing back to my student who I love very much. Lulei ahavascha, if not for the fact that I love you so much, ein darki lahashiv b'inyanim ka'elu. I normally don't respond to questions of this nature. Devarim she'en lahem shorish b'talmud uv'poskim. This is an issue that has no source at all. No source in Chazal, no source in Gemara, no source in any Midrashim or at all. And he says, because godel ahavascha, because I love you so much, hotziani chutz degibri. I'm going to go out of my natural practice that I do. I usually only answer questions that are halachic questions. Here you're asking me a question that's really outside of the halachic system. What should I do? Should I marry the girl? Should I not? She has the same name. So he says, I'm going to go out of my way, and he says, Ein l'chachamim she'achar ha-talmud rishus lomar davar neged ha-talmud. He says, in my opinion, no one has a right to say anything against what the Gemara taught us, what Chazal taught us, after the Talmud was sealed. And therefore he says, he feels that he really didn't have a right, Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid, thank you, didn't have a right to institute new ideas that came along later on just because he thought they made sense. And the Rabbeinu Yehuda himself is very opposed to this whole idea of having to worry about Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid's chumrah. So this is an issue in general, how do you deal with it? Certainly, how do you deal with it here? And I know on many occasions that I've spoken to my father about this question. What do we do when people have these trees and they want to build something? On the one hand, the Rishonim seem to say it's mutter, seems to be nothing wrong with it at all, but we have this sort of a monkey wrench, the Tzavas Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid, who seems to tell us that it's not permissible. So this is a question in general. My father, I know, in the past has told many people that unless it's extremely uncomfortable for you, unless it's very hard to get a non-Jew involved, he thought the best idea is to try and sell your tree to a non-Jew, have the non-Jew cut it down when it belongs to them, even though we know that it's a harama, you're just beating the system by doing such a thing, like Mechiras Chametz and other times that we do that. But still, in order to get around all the issues and not to step on the toes of a Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid, we don't want to do away with what he said, but to try to be choshesh ledvar, to try to think about what he said and to try to take it seriously, we do our best and we try to sell the tree to a non-Jew. Again, it's a tremendous chumrah. It's not something that's me'ikar adin. Me'ikar adin is mutter, the Rishonim say. But in a case where it's easily accessible to do such a thing, that is usually the advisable opinion that we generally tell people to try to follow.